All right. Hey, good evening, Grace Point. Anybody else that's out there, we're going to pick up in our study of Matthew chapter 8. We're just giving you 13, 15 minutes at a time here, just trying to get you stuff to chew on. We've been discussing healing and authority and how Jesus walked the last few weeks. Father, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation would come on all of us, Lord. Myself, Brian, Lord, anybody that's listening, Father, you'd open our hearts and minds to the truth of the word. And Lord, so we can live by it. We can live by faith. We can walk by faith. We know how to apply our faith in Jesus. It's all in Jesus, Lord. We praise you. We thank you. And we're very grateful. Amen. All right. So last week we talked about this centurion, how he came to Jesus. He had the right attitude. He was humble. He also had a revelation about authority. He knew that authority was released through words, go, come, and he knew that Jesus had authority in the spiritual world or in the realm of sickness, didn't he? He sure did. And Jesus still has authority in that realm. But when Jesus heard the man's confession, he was astonished, and he said, "I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go." Just exactly what the centurion said. "Go. It will be done just as you have believed it would." And his servant was healed at that very hour. Powerful. So one of the things, I used to read this, and I didn't understand it. One translation says that the subjects of the kingdom, many of them say, I think the actual Greek word, I looked it up, is sons of the kingdom, will be thrown out, and they'll have gnashing of teeth. So here Jesus has healed and operated on behalf of a Gentile. A Gentile has come, and he's operated in faith, and he's put his faith in Jesus. And he says, "I haven't seen anyone in all the nation of Israel, the people that have the promises of God, the people that have the Word of God, the people that should be understanding the Word of God and the covenant of God. I haven't seen anybody operate in this faith like this guy has." He says that many will come from the east and the west, and they'll have their places in the kingdom of Abraham with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you know what he's talking about when he says many will come from the east and the west? He used to puzzle me. Like, what's he talking? And then he says the subjects or the sons of the kingdom will be on the outside. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about Gentile inclusion. He's saying that there's going to be many Gentiles, and they're going to come from the east and the west. Like, they're going to come from everywhere, and they're going to enter the kingdom of God, just like this centurion operated in the kingdom kind of in advance, you know, before Jesus died. He said they're going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember how I taught recently how the Gentiles are grafted in to the olive tree, and that's a Jewish olive tree. Jesus is the root. He's the fatness. He's the vine. We're the branches. He's the root of that, and how the Jewish people were cut off and the Gentiles were grafted in. It's exactly what Jesus is saying, because he goes on to say that the sons of the kingdom are going to be on the outside. And he actually, as he goes through the book of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he keeps telling his disciples, "Hey, I am going to be rejected. I'm going to be put to death. After 3 days, I'm going to rise again." So the Jewish nation, the Jewish leaders, the Jewish people, they're going to reject Jesus, and they're going to be on the outside. They're going to be with weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the Gentiles are going to come from the east and the west, and they're going to hear the message of the gospel of the kingdom. Isn't that powerful? He's already alluding to it. Everything Paul says, if you want to read about that, you know, more, go into Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about how the Gentiles are included, not a separate tree, how the Gentiles are included. And then also you might want to read in Romans 9, 10, and 11, particularly read in Romans 11 and go over that. And you'll get this understanding about how the Jewish nation was pulled out. Now, if a Jewish person believes in Jesus and puts his faith in Christ, he just keeps his place in the tree. But we're grafted in. That's the point. That's powerful. So that was kind of neat when I finally understood that. His light dawned on me. Then he said to the centurion, "Go, and it will be done just as you believed it would." Folks, here is a perfect example of faith possessing what it believed. This centurion believed something, and he received what he was believing. There are so many scriptures that repeat, I don't want to say formula, because it's not just formulaic, but it is in a sense of, you believe and you receive. We're going to get into that in Matthew 21. It's in Mark chapter 11. We'll talk about that. It's in John 15. It's in the book of 1 John. It's in the book of James. Over and over again, we're encouraged to believe God. Like I mentioned last week, that scripture in Corinthians where Paul said, "I believed, therefore have I spoken." It says, "We also believe." So we are supposed to, the Bible says that Jesus is the high priest of our confession. He's watching over his word to perform it. And when you put his word in your mouth with a believing heart and you speak it, he's watching over it to bring it to pass. Let's hit that real quick about faith. And you could really just teach all day about faith, but I know I'll have more time coming on, though there's better scriptures that'll lend right to it. But the Lord honors faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You come to God, you have to believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. The book of Jeremiah, I love this. God touches, chapter 1, God touches His mouth, and the word of the Lord came to him in verse 11 and came to Jeremiah and says, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" He says, "I see the branch of an almond tree." And I replied, "The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly." He says, "And I am watching over my word to perform it." You have seen correctly, and I am watching over my word to perform it. So, we really can't take the promises of God and put them in our heart and believe them and speak them. And the Lord will honor that. He's watching over His word. Well, I taught about that this week about faith. And one of the things I really recommend, you can't live off of somebody else's revelation. I could tell you, I got stories about how God's provided for me and Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah my provider. I can tell story after story about how God's provided for me. But it has to be a revelation for you. I know that giving is very, very important with God. He wants us to, it says He'll give us seed to sow and bread to eat. Some people eat all their seed. Then they don't reap a harvest, right? Because they're eating all their seed. And they think their seed is their bread. He says He'll give us seed to sow and bread to eat. I believe it. And I'm going to live by that. I'm going to live by the Word of God. But you can't live off my revelation of it. So that's why it's important for you to meditate in the Word, for you to pray over the Word. I met an elder yesterday, and we were talking about a certain topic, and he was telling me, you know, his viewpoint, what it meant to him, and I really was listening to him, trying to figure out where he was coming from, and I was paying attention to him, listening. But, you know, I went home, and I cracked open my Bible, and I was checking what he was telling me. And everything he told me, at least in my first look at it, wasn't exactly right. At least it didn't appear to me to be. But I was looking at it, and I got to look at it some more. I want to give it due diligence because I'm searching the Scriptures. I want to see what I always tell the Lord is, Lord, I just want the truth. I don't have a dog in this race. You know, people argue about whether women should teach or preach. And I love women. I don't care if women teach. but I still want to know, what does the Word say about it? You know, as far as I'm concerned, if it's good with the Lord, it's good with me, right? I don't have a problem, you know, listening to a woman teach or preach or something, but I want to know, what does the Bible say? So I'll go in, I'll dig into it, and I'll search the Scriptures. I want to know what it really says. Folks, we should be like that. Someone teaches on healing, you need to go yourself and dig into it. It won't do you any good to have someone else's revelation or understanding. I'm talking to believers here. Okay, you know, you say God is my provider. You need to go into it yourself and search the Scriptures and dig in there and find out what the Word says, because whatever the Word of the Lord is, God is watching over His Word and He will do it. He's not a man that he'd lie, and he's not the son of man that he'd change his mind. If he said it, he's going to do it, and you can put it in the bank. So I want to encourage you, and here's your example. You know, I mentioned last week, and I'll end here. I talked about a lot of people, when it comes to healing and stuff, they want to talk about Paul's thorn in the flesh. Paul had a messenger of Satan that was sent to buffet him because Paul was caught up into heaven. And he had all this divine revelation, and it said, so Satan came because Satan didn't want to see Jesus or Paul exalted above measure, you know, with all these revelations. So he came and attacked Paul. So he had what called a thorn in the flesh. And rather than look at Jesus and all the promises he made, how he operated, people always want to identify with that. Number one, you're not Paul. Paul was caught up into heaven. He had revelation after revelation about Jesus, and he was under a special assignment from Satan to attack him so he wouldn't be exalted above measure. If you've had that, if that's you, great. You wouldn't need me to teach you anyway. But we're to look at Jesus. We're to understand what Jesus did for us. And then God told Paul, hey, my grace is sufficient for you. It's enough. So Paul got his prayer answered anyway. The answer was God's grace was enough. It's awesome. Now I want to look at Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So folks, get in the Word, pray over it, believe it, live it, operate in it, and you'll be blessed as you do. All right, we'll just stop right there, and we'll pick up next week.